Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I want to welcome Dr. Stephen Farmer. He is world-renowned best-selling author, soul healer, shaman practitioner, and spiritual teacher. And today, I'm going to ask Dr. Farmer to share with us how to honor your soul's purpose, not just in your book, but in your work and in your entire life. Stephen, welcome. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. Thanks for having me as a guest. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Well, I thought we would start out, for those who may be on the call that are still kind of searching for their life purpose, can you share with us some direction and some tips that might be helpful for people who are still kind of looking for what they think they're meant to do in this world?
Yeah, show up and breathe. That's some advice I got many years ago, and as simple as it sounds, there's some real truth in that. I was reminded recently how important it is to consciously breathe. I've been negligent about doing yoga, and I figured I'd do one or two classes a week in addition to any other kind of workout. And one of the values of yoga is the movement and with breath. Now, go back to your question, how to honor or to discover really what your soul's purpose is. I think that in the most central part of anyone's life should be their spiritual discipline. And what I mean by that, that's pretty broad to say that, but I truly believe that, based on my own experience, that if I get off center, one of the best things I can do is to practice a few different spiritual disciplines that I work with, one of those being yoga, but also my primary would be the shamanic journey. Meditation is another one, any kind of meditation, to be able to access that higher consciousness. So whatever it takes to practice that, and ideally on a daily basis, I find that, and myself included, that it's so easy to get caught up in just the stuff of the world, the busyness. I can't tell you how many times and how many people I've talked to that are going, oh, I'm just so busy now, I'm just so busy now. And I think that, first off, becomes an affirmation. And therefore, we fulfill that to get busy. We get caught up easily in the day-to-day kind of living, all the different responsibilities we have and who to call and checking email and, you know, taking care of this and that, that it's easy to get off track. So that's my pitch to everyone listening, and a reminder, really, because I suspect that everyone listening has their own methodologies to stay connected to that higher consciousness or higher self. I just did a very powerful journey this morning that was a reminder of this very thing that I'm talking about right now, and how our connection to the higher consciousness, how could I say this? It was said so elegantly to me in my journey by the one I call the teacher, is that we really have access to that higher consciousness, but we have to find means to remember that. I always find the word remember interesting because, if you think of it, it's the opposite of dismember. Remember means put back together. And I think it's an apt word for remembering who we really are, remembering that we are consciousness expressing in this physical form, and that we are connected in the web of life to all consciousness, to all other beings, to everything in the cosmos of the planet in some fashion. And we get lost in the forgetfulness of that fact, that we are connected in that way. And by connecting with what we're calling, in a broader sense, the higher consciousness, we can receive guidance and input. As I've often said, all you have to do is ask and you shall receive. But a lot of times we don't ask, you know, what is it? What's my next best step here? What can I do? To look for the signs, to be able to learn how to interpret the signs and the symbols that come to us that really will guide us on our path. It's just amazing how that can work. So that's a couple of thoughts about that anyway.
Yeah, so it's really a matter of developing a discipline that becomes just part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, and I'm happy to lead, if it's appropriate, to do a meditation that I think can assist with that in some way. But again, I qualify that by saying that's not the only way. You know, there's a lot of different ways. I know that when I've done yoga or Tai Chi, for instance, I love the moving kind of meditations because they become moving meditations. And the way they do that is through the breath. I would have these ecstatic experiences at times when I did Tai Chi. I don't do it any longer, but for a number of years I did, and I would just completely lose my sense of my usual self. And as what I was reminded today, it's not a thought. It's actually going to that place of no thought, where you become immersed in that sense of unity with all. And when you have that experience, we try to, explain it and write poetry about it and write reports of the journey that I just did. And we try to write that. It's difficult to do, but it does help to write things out like that. Especially as writers, I think that's our craft. That's what we do. Whether it's writing, like Julia Cameron said, the morning pages, 3 pages a day for, what is it, I think if it's 12 weeks or something like that, where you just let you let it flow. You just keep, and it opens that creative burst. And I've done that myself on a couple of occasions, 12 weeks of morning pages, for instance. And that can help us access that higher consciousness. I use that term higher. I think that it's, how would I put that? That higher consciousness is also something that expresses in every other being on this planet. So it's not something that's removed from us. I just want to be clear about that. That's how you discover what your soul's purpose is, what your life purpose is. And that will allow you to be guided in discovering when to make a left turn, for instance, or how to deal with struggles that you might be faced with. But again, forgive me for keep saying this, but I was reminded again that we can only really access that in a state of calm. So to find something that helps you feel that calmness in the body where you relax your stomach, you relax your chest, you relax your legs, you relax your back, you relax your shoulders, you go into that. The best way to do that is through the breath, to do slow conscious breathing. As you can tell, I'm really big on that right now.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful thing. I know from my own practice, it makes all the difference in the world if I'm not disciplined about making that happen. If I forget even a day, it makes such a huge difference. You had touched on a subject that is really near and dear to my heart. And I guess I kind of look at the world sort of like a jigsaw puzzle that is the most beautiful puzzle. And all the pieces are different shaped, but it takes all those pieces to make a full picture. And I had a friend who said one time, and I share this a lot with our writers, that if you don't tell your story and you don't find your purpose and live it to the fullest, no one else can fill that gap for you in the world, because it is your unique purpose. And you really need to be able to do that full out, or else it will leave a hole in the world, really. And what you said reminded me of that. And I think it's so beautiful.
Well, thank you. I look back on my own life and, the joys and the struggles and everything. And at this stage, particularly, I look at it, it all has a purpose, even if it didn't seem like it at the time. I think that we sometimes we're under this illusion that somehow by following the spiritual path, whatever that means to anyone, that it's once I discover that connection and awareness of higher self, that life is going to be really smooth. And I think it does help, believe me, to weather the storm, certainly. But it's also, there are going to be storms. I guess that's the simplest way to say it. But also, I think as writers particularly, sometimes we have to dive into that painfulness and allow its birth and allow its emergence to really feel deeply, to be able to write from our heart. both about the joy of, like my little granddaughter, 3.5 years old, was here. And just, you know, I'd get up in the morning. She's ready to go. You know, she's ready to go at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not a real morning person typically. But I found myself, I remember that there was about 5 minutes where I was going, oh, no, you know, a little kid, she wants to talk, you know, whining inside. And then something reminded me that, hey, this moment, it's actually a dream I had, that every moment is precious. You know, take that into account, that every moment is precious. And then suddenly I shifted, and I was completely, and I said that right at the beginning, show up and breathe. You know, be completely present as much as possible. Take a few deep breaths, you know, and just really be with her. We had a delightful, every morning, it was really delightful to be in the presence of this little being, this little girl who just almost always had a smile on her face. It was very articulate and very just completely charming. I'm not sure why I share that story other than I think that relating to what you say is life is kind of a puzzle and you put the pieces together. And one of those big pieces, again, is to show up and breathe, is to be as present as possible. And then write about that. Write your story. Little things that happen to us throughout the day, I think, are worthy of reporting. I remember some reason I flash on this, Vicki, on this one piece I wrote. It was a blog, probably about 4 or 5 paragraphs. And I was thinking about judgments. And I was sitting in the airport, and I'm of the, well, let's put it this way. The truth is I judge. And there's sometimes emphasis in New Age metaphysical circles, thou shalt not judge, you know, but that's baloney. You know, we do judge. It's what we do with it, I think, that really counts. And that's to let them go, you know, basically see that they're there and then release them. Because as someone once said, very wise person said, your judgments about me say a lot more about you than they do about me. And so when I remember that, or what you think of me is none of my business. That's a title of a book, I think, from years ago. But I'm sitting in the airport, Vicki, and I'm looking, and there's this guy over there not too far from me, and he's eating McDonald's. And I went into this whole judgment for about a minute and a half. How could he eat McDonald's? Doesn't he know that da-da-da-da-da, you know, just listing in my head the litanies of what's bad about McDonald's. And then I caught it. I had to laugh. I just laughed at myself. I said, oh, look at you. Look at you standing in judgment of someone else. You don't know what this guy's... You know, I just reminded myself that it's really ridiculous for me to judge anybody for whatever reason. But here I am, you know, judging this person when I think of my own junk food habits that occasionally surface. And it's absolutely a reflection of some part of me that I don't want to own. And so that helped me appreciate and accept that man and his particular choices. My point of that is I wrote about it. You know, just a little incident that happened in a John Wayne airport here in Orange County, California. So I think as writers, I think we need to give voice to those different experiences like that, maybe put a little creative twist on it. But, you know, give voice to that, because I think that communication that we write, whether it's just simply we write for ourselves, or we write for the public in some fashion, whether it's an article or a book or whatever it may be, I think it's important to share those kind of things. It reminds us that we're human beings. Yes, we're spiritual, and yes, spirit is expressing. I like to think spirit isn't expressing through us. Spirit is, we are spirit. You know, spirit is expressing as us. Spirit is expressing as Vicki, as Stephen, as my little puppy dog here, my 3.5-month-old yellow lab that's lying here nice and peacefully, not bothering, is sleeping so well. And that's spirit expressing as this little dog. Anyway, I'm rambling a little bit. Forgive me for rambling, but once you ask me a question, I just kind of take off. Yeah.
warning. That warning. Is so beautiful.
I should come with a warning, you know, warning. Careful when you ask this man something, you know, he's going to talk for the next 10 minutes.
Well, what I love, again, about what you're expressing, Stephen, is the idea that even the small moments in life are really worth not only recording and writing about, but sharing with others. Because I read a book years ago. It was actually written by Marlo Thomas, and it was a book about the inspiring moments in people's lives. And it was really so surprising because some of these moments were what we would look at on the outside looking in as very small moments. and they completely turn people's lives around.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking of a small moment last night, walking outside. We had just had a couple of days of just some very welcome rain, and the skies were completely clear, which it just, rain is so wonderful. Here, you know, you have your issues there. I guess, anyway, in Toronto, I know where I'll be appearing in May and June. I've been told by Beth McBlain, my friend and sponsor, of how cold it is and how, you know, it's breaking records and everything. And here we in Southern California, we have our own weather issues, which is drought. And so had this very welcome rain, and looking out 26 miles across the sea, as the song, the old song goes, at Catalina, it's just so sharp and crystal clear. And I could see an area that's quite a distance up the coast, Palos Verdes, Long Beach, etc. Just taking a breath as I'm looking at these and going, my God, it's just what an amazing planet we're on. And then last night, going out with this very clear, fresh, kind of, you know, for us at least, very crisp, cool air, and looking up, and there's Venus in the western sky. And then I look up and over, and there is almost a full moon, about 2-3 days away. And right next to the full moon is this bright star, which is not actually a star, it's Jupiter. And these kind of things take my breath away. Those kind of moments, like you said, whether they're life-changing or not, I think are inspirations. They're reminders. To me, they're reminders of the preciousness of being able to perceive something like this and take it in and take a deep breath and listen to my heart and open my heart to receiving the bounty of beauty that's in this world. You know, you wouldn't think so if you open CNN or Yahoo News or something like that with all the stories of misery and pain and suffering, you know, which is also part of this world. But there are moments like that where I really appreciate the beauty that is available to us. Not only the beauty, but also the availability through the elements of the earth to receive guidance. As you probably know, I'm known for, amongst other things, known as the author of a couple of books, Animal Spirit Guides and Power Animals, and also The Pocket Guide to Spirit Animals. And that's one of the ways that God or spirit speaks to us, in the ways that animals show up. I had a friend recently, I got to tell you a short story. I'll try to keep it short here, Vicki, so bear with me. Anyway, this man, who's a brother by a different mother, but a really close friend I've known for years, this man at 70 years old took a bicycle trip across the country. It took him 2 months. And he wrote a story that I just did a little editing with. He sent it to me. I offered to edit some of the stuff. He's writing a book about his travels. There you go. There's a good example of that. And I had to, you know, I kept nudging him going, you got to write a book about this, because he, you know, I'd read his blog every time across his journey. And he's putting it together as a book. You know, I've been nagging him about it, and he's finally really into it. Now he says he can't get anything else done because all he's doing is writing. He says, I'm obsessed, Stephen. I'm obsessed. I says, yeah, you have to be. You know, to get a book done, you have to be obsessed. But anyway, he wrote this story about one of the campgrounds he stayed in. Three grizzly bears showed up, and that was, he was really excited because he hoped he would see a bear, but he thought maybe a little brown bear or something like that. Anyway, there's this whole story he wrote about. It's really very, very well done, and what an adventure to camp out, you know, just him and his bike and his belongings that he had with him, to camp out where these bears were spotted. And the most interesting thing is he lives up in Flagstaff, Arizona, and he's really dug into writing this book. This was a couple of years ago when he took this trip. And he said, he wrote me just recently, he said, Stephen, he said, you won't believe this, but I've lived here for 20 years, and I went out yesterday and I saw bear tracks. I have never seen a bear here in Flagstaff or evidence of a bear since then. And he said, I get the meaning. In other words, he took this as a sign, and the way I would see it is a message from spirit or God. I use those terms interchangeably. I think they're one and the same. A message from spirit through bear to make a stand, to stick with it, to keep on writing. And I went, yay, Bruce, way to go, man. That sounds good to me, you know, that bear showed up in that way. I've had visitations on many occasions from different animals that, to me, were really spirit animals. Hawk, for instance, there's a road I go on when I go to the gym to work out. And there are occasions when I see this red-tailed hawk there. I'm often, almost always, I'm not sure every time, but almost always I take that as a message that says, stay focused, don't get distracted. And there have been a couple of times when that has been, every time really, when that has been absolutely right on. For instance, going to the gym and doing a certain workout, you know, stay focused, don't get distracted, because otherwise if I get distracted, I could get injured. So I go, thank you, Brother Hawk. This is something our ancestors did. It was second nature. And indigenous people today, same thing. You know, the world speaks to us. And that's going back to your other question, Vicki, that how do you find your soul's purpose, or how do you find direction? Sometimes it's direction that will get you to a place where you discover your soul's purpose. And I'll tell you, the natural world is one way to do it.
Oh, that's so powerful, really powerful. So you have written three or more best-selling books, three that I know of, and yeah. I was wondering if you could share some tips for people who either may be stuck or just starting out and, you know, not quite getting in the groove. And we all have days when, even when we think we're in the groove, some days are better than others. So do you have any tips for how to make that happen?
I've got a few, that have worked for me. So I'll just talk about that. I love talking about this because it's the creative process. First thing is those days when we feel stuck. And trust me, I've been there. I hate to say this, I've lost count the number of books. I wrote books. I'm a former psychotherapist, so I wrote four then, published four then. And then there was a few years of a gap, and then I started writing and publishing again. And I think I've got something like six or seven books. I just completed one, or one that was just published, called Healing Ancestral Karma. The others that I mentioned, Animal Spirit Guides, Sacred Ceremony, Earth Magic. And then I've got Oracle Cards too, which are easy to use cards that will help you with messages that will, again, help guide you. I think it was interesting in writing this most recent book, Healing Ancestral Karma. I wrote to a dear friend of mine who's also a writer and also coaches writers. And I said something about, you know, I'm really kind of wandering in the dark here. I don't know what. And, you know, her best advice was two words, just write. Just write. So all you writers out there, I would say put that as an affirmation somewhere near your computer or whatever you write on. And remember, just to write. And by the way, that really helps. It's like, another tip or an aphorism that I use is, don't just do something, sit there. My wife Jessica reminded me of one that, because she's a writer too, she's a really good writer. She's working on a book now. And she reminded me of one, which was the tyranny of the blank page. I love that expression. The tyranny of the blank page. You sit there and you go, I can't think of anything to write. What do I write? You know, and you get into your head and just kind of drive yourself a little crazy because nothing is really coming. And I go back to number one there, which is just write. I've told my friend who I've been coaching, actually, my friend Bruce, who writes is writing the bicycle tour story or book. I said, what you got to do is expect to be edited. Just write and expect to be edited. You know, it's not going to come out perfectly. Go for the B. You know, don't go for the A plus. I remember in my first book, which was published in 1988, Vicki, which, by the way, is still selling. It's pretty interesting. The book has gotten legs and lasted 25 years. That's amazing to me. But I remember there when I was first, I had a friend who was coaching me on the book at that time, too, a writing coach. He's a successful author as well. And I would sit there and massage a paragraph for an hour and a half. I would go back and I go, I didn't like the way I said it. And, oh, there's a comma that goes there. I mean, just go nuts, you know, trying to make it just perfect. And it just isn't going to be that way. You know, you can tell. I think, Vicki, you would agree with me. And tell me if you don't agree with me or not, but whether you agree with me. You can tell a good book has been edited when it flows. You ever notice that?
Yes.
Yeah, you can expect to be edited. And whether it's you doing the editing, or sometimes it helps get fresh eyes on it, somebody else, maybe a friend or your spouse or something like that. But expect to be edited. You know, it's not going to come out perfectly. Go for the B, as my friend Alan said. Go for the B. And when he'd say that, I'd go, well, yeah, but I want, yeah, Stephen, go for the B. And that was my very first book, like I said, back in 1988, published in 1988. Go for the B. So those are some of the things that helped me. But I think the most profound advice, similar to what I said earlier in the show, show up and breathe, is just write. You know, just write, just write. Don't worry about how it's going to look or how it's sounding. Another tip that I found is I speak when I write. I'm muttering. My wife will come in and go, oh, you're talking to yourself. I say, I'm writing. Yeah, but the reason for that is that, and I think people who have read my books would agree, is it comes out very conversational because I'm hearing how the words sound as well as how they look. So I'm involving two different senses, both my sight and my hearing, so that when we read a book, that's often what's going on is we hear it in our minds. So as writers, and I know this is going to be helpful to all the writers, is I would say go ahead and mutter, you know, talk your book, talk your sentence, talk your paragraph, talk your page, and it's going to help it come across that much more conversational, like you really are speaking to the reader. Does that make sense?
Oh, that, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I have to say, I've interviewed so many writers and we've taken almost 500 writers to bestseller status. And no one has ever expressed that to me. No one has ever expressed that technique to me. And it makes so much sense.
Well, the best books that I've read, they flow like that, even whether fiction or nonfiction. And two things, like I said, I suspect that the writer has really good editing. And I've been absolutely blessed, believe me, to have good editing in all my books. I'm so grateful. I remember I wrote the book Earth Magic. I remember I wrote it during a period of turmoil in my life. And I was amazed that I even got the book written. And I think it's a pretty good book. However, I remember when I turned it into the editor, the initial manuscript, she sent back 4 pages of comments. 4 pages. I mean, that may not sound like a lot, but it was a lot. Like, why don't you move this here, and you might try this here, and then this sentence here, in addition to the actual editing that was on the pages itself. These were comments and suggestions for the organization of the book. And man, I got on my knees and said, thank you, God, you know, for this editor, because she really pulled me through on this book, and it came out, and it was absolutely 150% better as a result. The writing was good. Don't get me wrong. I think I'm a good writer, and I don't say that like I'm bragging. I just know from experience that I'm a good writer, but it's a team that really creates a book. Isn't that true? It's a team. You know, you have all the support of your friends, your family. You have people going, atta girl, atta boy, you know, keep going. How's the book going? You know, things like that. And then you have the hands-on team, you know, which is, again, the editors, people that might make suggestions, et cetera. So it really is a community that creates a book. And whatever, if you want to include your spirit guides in some way, whoever they may be, that's part of the team too.
Oh, yeah, it's just beautiful. It's so beautiful when you think of it that way. Thank you so much, Stephen, for mentioning that. I wanted to ask you, what if you are in a position where you've got a lot of ideas and you've been through a number of different stages and written on different subject matter that was appropriate for your purpose at the time? How do you determine to zero in on what is specific for your purpose at this time?
That's a really good question, Vicki, and I hadn't thought about that, but here's what comes up immediately. One, get centered, you know, which that to me, that means put your feet on the ground. If you have to, take a walk outside, take your shoes. Well, in cold weather, you may not want to do this, but take your shoes off, walk on the earth if you can, if the climate is appropriate for that. Or you can wear leather-soled shoes. And I'm telling you why. This is a little bit of a diversion, but I think it's an important thing. There's a methodology called earthing that's showing up more and more. And what this fella, Clint Ober, who's discovered this or wrote about it and implemented it, is that by connecting with the earth through your feet, either barefoot or leather-soled rather than rubber-soled shoes, what happens is all those free radicals, you know, that steal the electrons, the earth will give you those as you walk on the earth. And it's a great way to get centered, to get grounded, not to use a bad pun, but to get grounded. And it works. I have this little pad here that's under my desk that you can acquire, earthing.com. You know, we've turned earth into a verb now, earthing.com. And what it is, it's connected to the ground in one of the plugs. And I just went in about 3 months ago and had a test for my free radicals, and it was like practically zero. In other words, you know, that I know it's partly due to this pad that's here, but also that I do go barefoot a lot. Which I'm fortunately able to do so here in Southern California. Anyway, that was a little bit of an aside, but I think a worthwhile one, and I trust will be valuable for your listeners as well. What I would do is this, though: get centered. You know, if you're sitting at your desk, and write down, just brainstorm topics. Put them on a list, handwritten, I would say, not rather than computer, because there's something about handwriting these. Write the topics out. What do you want to write about? And then go through them and then pause, go back through them in each one, pause, take a couple of nice deep breaths and see how it feels in your heart. Is it something you can feel passionate about, that you really have some deep-seated kind of sense of passion about? Can I really write about this? And rate it from 0 to 10. That combines both the feeling that you associate with the topic as well as with a certain logic. So you're using both right brain and left brain processes to determine what you want to write about. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes so much sense. You know, so Stephen, what I would love to do now... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just to finish that, just to complete that, I'll keep it brief.
Sure.
Go through, write those, and, you know, of course, you want to choose the ones that are 8, 9s, and 10s, and then you want to narrow that down in the same process. Do your breathing, see what you want to write about, and then start by writing a page. And then maybe write 3 pages about that topic and see what shows up. My book on ancestral healing, Healing Ancestral Karma, it started about 4 or 5 years ago, but the actual writing did not start until about a year and a half ago. And it was just published in October, so it took me about 9 months to put it together because I'd already written some stuff about it. So, yeah, that's what I'd suggest.
Oh, fabulous. I was wondering, Stephen, we have just a few minutes left. Is that enough time for you to do a guided meditation?
Yeah, and how much time do we have left?
Like maybe 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, this is going to do a quick, quickie, slow meditation. And I will speak to as if you are standing or sitting right in front of me here. And the first thing to do is, as you've heard me say throughout the program, is notice your breathing. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And as you breathe in through your nose and as you exhale through your mouth, see if you can make a little bit of a sighing sound, like just to release. And as you breathe in, just notice areas of tension in your body. And notice as you exhale, just releasing that tension. Feet on the ground. Sitting nice and tall, not stiff, but tall. The reason for that is opening your heart and your stomach. And breathing. And now as you breathe in, a little slower and a little deeper than you might typically, say the words, I am. And as you breathe out, the word, relax. So that in rhythm with your breathing, as you breathe in, I am. And as you breathe out, the word relaxed. As a very simple mantra, I am. Relaxed. Good. And feeling every bit of tension just slowly dissipating. As you breathe out, repeating this either out loud to yourself in your mind. A very simple way, and just notice your feet on the ground as you do. Notice your body and the surface upon which you're sitting or lying. And repeating that affirmation, I am relaxed. I am relaxed. Good. That's it. And just letting yourself drift, being aware of thoughts that want to distract you from your breath, and just gently
bring your attention and awareness back to your breathing at each and every opportunity. Good. I am relaxed. Good. And if you should have happened to close your eyes, when you're ready, open your eyes and look around you and continue with the breath a little deeper and a little slower for the next couple of minutes as we close this program. And I want to thank you all for listening. And I trust that this has been helpful for you. I am relaxed. And the truth is, I am very relaxed. I trust everyone else is. So thank you again, Vicki.
That was wonderful, Stephen. And I want to say that I know everyone gained so much from this and so many different things. You know, you speak to people individually, things that they will take away will be individual for them. But for me, I just wanted to share that some of the things that I got from this was the idea of really being disciplined about, you know, your spiritual practice, and that's the source of your creativity. And when you need assistance with that or you need clarification, to get back to nature. And then the tip that you gave about just write, putting it on your computer. And again, if you get confused about writing too much, taking that out to nature and helping clear your mind and develop the clarity about what your purpose really is. It's been a really powerful time with you, Stephen.
Well, thank you. And I want to mention, too, that for those of you in the Toronto area, I'm going to be there at the end of May and the first week of June. So you can look it up on my website, earthmagic.net. Sign up for my newsletter if you want. All sorts of good stuff on the website, earthmagic.net.
Fabulous. I was just going to ask you that. So I want to make sure everyone got that. To be able to tap into more of Stephen's wisdom and possibly even see him in person, it's earthmagic.net, correct?
That's correct. Thank you, Vicki.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for being with us today, Stephen.
Oh, you got it. Thanks, Vicki. Anytime. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much, Stephen. And thank you all for being here with us and sharing in this wonderful wisdom that we heard today.